When we're done, I want you to share a little bit about, if you want, I never want to embarrass anybody, but what God's put on your heart. So just be thinking about that. And if the Lord's put something on your heart to share, to bless us, we would appreciate it. So anyhow, so let's get right into this because we got a lot to go. I want to share this. I thought this was astounding. And I got my marker down there. So if that's on the camera, that's what that is. In Ephesians 2:10, excuse me, from the Amplified Classic Bible, this is so good. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we should do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them." Listen to this. "Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Isn't that awesome? Living, you know, and my friend, Pastor Joe Fortunato, and I were talking today on the phone and dealing with the Army thing, but we were just talking about this, and he was saying how so many people think they don't understand what the good life is. We think of it like the world thinks of it, but really the good life is being in the purpose of God for your life. That's the good life. And all the provision and everything we need for that is in Christ. I mean, if it was just what you had, then Hollyweird should, you know, their marriages should be successful. I mean, they should have everything. They should be happy. There shouldn't be our politicians. I was thinking today, wouldn't it be refreshing if our politicians actually cared more about the country than they did about getting reelected? I just think that would be wonderful. Or elected. But anyhow, I'm ranting. So let's get into this outline. This is the last one in this teaching, in this series on taking the limits off God, and go to Psalm 78:41. That's our foundation verse, Psalm 78:41. And next week we're going to start, are you ready for this? And I'm really fascinated by this. We are going to start effortless change. Because I have thought for a long time, let me just say this before we get into this, the change is effortless, but there's effort involved, you know, to enter that rest, if you will. And so understanding that, but like, for example, studying your Bible, praying, communing with God, that takes effort, but the change it produces is effortless. And I'm excited about that study. Dr. Richards has actually got a chapter in the book, Grace, the Power to Change, on effortless change. And so I'm just excited about that study. So that starts next week. Mark your calendars. I think this stuff is so amazing. I was talking before some of you got here. I was talking, sharing that. I mean, I got so much revelation today. I mean, it blows my mind. It just blows my mind how much God downloads on me. It's the Word of God, but it's a result. When we commune with God, praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, I was so blessed and so excited at the things that I was seeing. I mean, scriptures came together that I've known. Like one place in 1 Peter chapter 1, I had saw these verses, but all of a sudden I saw how they're all connected. I thought, oh my word, when did God do that? But that's the power of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit guides us into the truth, and thy word is truth. So I'm bragging on the Lord, and it's powerful, man. Somebody said this. I'm going to say it. I'm going to read it like I wrote it. It might have been this guy from South Africa. I'm not sure who actually said it as my keys fall out. Anyhow, I want to read it to you. And I want, for those of you listening out there, even though I can quote this, I want to read it to you. Are you ready? Here it is. This guy talks about fervent prayer. I call it wide mouth prayer. What is that? Psalm 81 verse 10 says, "Open wide your mouth and he will fill it." Don't get me started. But this, I'm going to read a quote to you. The greatest thing you can do is pray in tongues. A lot of churches won't even talk about it. Or they'll, "Oh, we believe it, but we just don't say much about it because it's not politically correct." I'm telling you, if your Christianity is just here, you're limited. God loves you. And man, praying in our native tongue, praising God, that's awesome. But I'm telling you, you can build yourself up on your most holy faith, Jude 20, one verse. And you can keep yourself in the love of God. And this isn't something you do one time or I tried it. This is not a pair of shoes. This is a lifestyle. Paul said, "Imitate me," or "follow me as I follow Christ," 1 Corinthians 11:1. And then a few chapters later, he talked about giving thanks well in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 14. Then he said, "I thank my God." He was thankful. that I speak in tongues more than you all. How could he say that? Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words of my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I believe as you spend time, 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, the 5 words you say in your understanding will change your life or change lives if people receive them. Amen? I'll tell you, I'm learning more and more that as soon as Zion travails, she brings forth her children. I'm learning more and more that the battles we're facing are spiritual. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. He had to say that because that's the temptation. When someone comes at you, that jerk, that, you know, he, she, whatever, and they may be the vehicle, they're yielded, but often it's demonic power, even in the church. You don't believe me? Jesus had to tell Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Called him Satan. I'm thinking, whoa, that's pretty strong. Jesus did that, so I think it was right. Amen? I often say the devil looks for people to hate you through. Amen. All right, let's get into this. We're talking about taking the limits off God. Psalm 78, verse 41 says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit the Holy One of Israel? They turned back. And we talked about Stephen's discourse in Acts chapter 7, right before he was martyred. Interesting, right? Right before he was martyred, he said they went back to Egypt in verse 39 of Acts 7. They went back to Egypt in their hearts. God's interested in what's going on in our hearts. Amen? Because that's where we believe or disbelieve. It's in our hearts. Amen. All right, so this is fascinating to me. We can limit God. This was God's covenant children under the old covenant. How much more can we limit God in the new covenant? But the good news is we don't have to limit God. Amen? And I don't think even as you take the limits off God, you'll never tap God out because he's limitless. Amen? I think of in Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20, after he talked about the knowing the love of God and all that, the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so we could be filled with all the fullness of God. Whoa. Now unto him that is able to do. Now he can do it because of your revelation of his love for you. Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That blows me away. That's huge. See, that's why it's imperative that we allow God to work on our hearts. That's why it's imperative that we learn to be still and know that he's God. I'm not saying we're not busy, we don't have responsibilities, but we have to make time for what's most important. You know, people say, well, I don't have time, but they got time for hours of TV. And when you watch TV, I'm not against TV. We have one. But I'm saying if that's all you do, you're allowing somebody else's imagination to be your imagination. Amen? And seeing God wants us, he wants personal relationship with you. God loves you if you never have relationship with him. But you won't know him and you won't love him. And faith works by love. I believe the Lord showed me that many in the body of Christ, who, you know, you can be saved for years and still be a baby. I like what my friend Pastor Joe Fortunato said. Some people have been saved for 25 years and they've lived that first year over and over and over 25 times. I'm thinking, God's got better things for us. Amen. But you know, when the Lord is our shepherd, you know, then he's able to direct our paths. All right, so we can limit God. We don't want to do that. Go to we were talking about imagination. Jump over to Isaiah 26. This is amazing. You know, I used to wonder stuff like it says, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you. That means I beg you, I implore you. I mean, this is urgent, that you abstain from fleshly lust. Why? They war against your soul. And 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So why I'm saying that is the enemy's fight is for your focus. The enemy wants you and I to be focused on stuff that doesn't matter. Someone once said, I thought this was amazing, we should not be so afraid of failure, but rather we should be afraid of being successful at things that don't matter. Amen? I'll tell you what matters is the kingdom of God. I see that more and more. Talking to Pastor Joe Fortunato, my friend out in New Jersey, and I'm telling you, this guy is amazing. He's amazing because he kept saying, when I was talking to him the other day, he kept saying, he goes, man, I'm not my own. I'm not my own. I don't belong to me. It's not up to me what I want to do. And then we got discussing Paul in Acts chapter 20, and he started talking about all these persecutions that the Holy Spirit was saying were following him. And Paul said this in verse 24 of Acts 20. He said, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. I'm not moved by the emotional stuff of this. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Holy Ghost to testify of the grace of God. Think about that, the gospel of the grace of God. He said, because he didn't count his life dear unto himself, you know, it enabled him to finish his course with joy. And I think that's the problem. We count our lives dear unto ourselves. It is. I mean, that's not not that we have dominion over your faith, 2 Corinthians 1:24, but we're helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. Do you know your joy needs some help? Amen. But see, the problem, the reason we get so upset with everything is because, you know, this whole world's full of offense. And somebody done me wrong song. I love what Greg Moore says. You know the key to relationships? Expect nothing, be thankful for everything. I think, that's gold. The only reason we're upset and mad is because we have expectations. And then when people don't meet them, I'm not saying if people are abusing you, I'm not talking about stupid stuff. But I'm saying, you know what? Expect nothing, be thankful for everything. And I think that is just so powerful. In other words, I draw my life from God, not from what people do or don't do. Because people let you down all the time. And I'm telling you, if we don't get, that's why forgiveness is so powerful. Forgiveness isn't approving of what someone did. Forgiveness is letting it go and giving it to God. And it frees you. Amen? So praise God. So Isaiah 26, verse 3, trust, or thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom is what it says in the Hebrew. Whose mind or imagination is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And this is what blows me away about that. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? To keep my imagination stayed upon the Lord. That's what the word mind there is. Look at your outline. The Hebrew word yetzer was translated imaginations 4 times in the Old Testament. A, it means conception. The imagination is our spiritual womb. Wow. It's where we conceive God's miracle working power. It's the spiritual womb. No imagination means no conception. Or the ladies were out here the other day, and they went out to the where the LED site is and the weeds that were growing up there. And Eric and Linda, they pulled a bunch of the weeds out of there. And Linda had a whole thing of like a bunch of weeds. And I thought, isn't that just how it is in the world? If you let things go, if you let your garden go, weeds come up. I go, that's a testimony to this fallen world. Well, it's the same with your imagination. If you let your imagination go, it can go anywhere. Amen? But this is why we need to train our imaginations. I said today, like I said before we started, I just know that Satan has fought hard through his lies because he's defeated. He's after my mind. He's after your mind. That's what he's after. People think, well, I feel this way. I go, what are you thinking about? You change your thoughts, you'll change your feelings. Well, I feel depressed. What are you thinking about? Well, depressing thoughts. I feel happy. What are you thinking about? Joyful thoughts. Huh. Wonder if I see the connection? That's simple. And then to begin to talk it. That's why when you speak, sometimes it's imperative that even if you don't feel the joy of the Lord, for example, I'm using joy as an example, begin to say, I have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You begin to declare that because see, what you're doing is you're hearing it. We speak to persuade our hearts, and then we will speak from a persuaded heart. It's like a circle. Amen? But see, you know, you got to pull the weeds out of the garden of your heart. And I'm telling you, she had a big pile of weeds. I thought, that's a lot of weeds in that little area. But that's how it is. And that's how this fallen world is. The Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole thing, 1 John 4:19. Literally, the Greek says, in the lap of the wicked one. And so everything in this fallen world is trying to pull us out of our grace race. And I tell people this, we're always gathering evidence. You know, our minds, our sight, our physical senses, we're gathering evidence either from the Word of God or from our five physical senses and what we see, taste, hear, feel, smell, and feel. And so you have your senses. God gave you your senses, but it's imperative that we draw from the Word. That's why he says, meditate day and night. Right? Psalm 1:2, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then shall he make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Not just success, good success. There's the difference between what the world says is success and good success. Like if you leave an inheritance, a financial inheritance to your children, but you leave them without the love of God and the fear of the Lord, you've left them broke. Totally broke. Amen? And I think all of it's important, but the main thing is the Lord. Amen. All right. So let's get it. So the imagination is our spiritual womb. Letter C. No imagination means no conception. If we conceive a miracle, we will give birth to it. Amen. We will give birth to a miracle. Look what Jesus said in John 5:19. John chapter 5 and verse 19. I don't know why I wrote 39. I guess I was thinking of another verse. But I was thinking of that verse, but sometimes. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Now I want you to see something here. This is Jesus talking. Isn't that amazing? What he's showing us an example that the Son can do nothing of himself. But look at this. Remember he said in John 14:10, it's the Father in him that does the works. Well, that's how it works with us too. The Holy Spirit in us. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And I've meditated on that. And I think, how did Jesus see the Father doing these things? The Father in heaven, you know, coming to earth, getting off the throne. How did this look? You know, I'm thinking in human terms, if you will. I'm just trying to understand it. I think it's simple. He saw himself doing it, but the Father doing it through him. And seeing as we spend time with God and allow him to train our imagination. Peter Daniels, considered probably the wealthiest believer in the world from Australia. Peter Daniels takes one day a week where he shuts everything off, I think his phone and everything, and he just dreams and meditates. He just dreams and meditates. I can tell you from experience that even in ministry, what happens a lot is pastors can be very charismatic in their personality. They can be, I'm just using pastors as one example. Hi, Avea, how are you? Doing good? She's coming. Okay, that's okay. But it can be a thing where people can go on natural charisma without going, you know, into the Word of God in prayer. How you doing, baby? You coming? She wants to minister. All right. So I just think that's powerful. So letter E, we need to take control and begin to conceive the purposes of God in our imagination. You know, first of all, we got to believe you have a purpose. A lot of people don't even believe they have a purpose. That's fans that are running by. But they do. Come here. Come here, baby. Where are you going? Okay, you coming? All right. All right. This is our grandbaby. Say hi, Vea. Say hi. You got something to say? I'll let you get her, Abby. Thank you. She's awesome. Yes, this may be a challenge, so... Anyhow, so we have to take control. That's powerful. We have to take control. Boy, that's big. I'm thinking of, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope, the Greek says, hope completely upon the grace that is being brought unto you, present tense, passive voice, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But when it says gird up the loins of your mind, it literally means pull the slack out of your brain. Out of your mind. I call it lazy brain. You know, people can be hard workers on the outside, but very lazy on the inside. And once again, It's like anything else. When we train ourselves in this, after a while, things become easy. Right? If you're going out trying to jog however far and you've never jogged before, I guarantee it's going to be really hard. But after you get more in shape and you can go, it's easier. It's like anything. You start, you know, a new job and they try to, you got to run this thing or whatever you got to do. And man, it's so complicated. But after you do it, you know, it becomes, you can learn. It's like anything else. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, those who by reason of use, that word use is habit, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And I really believe it's a holy habit. Jesus got up, you know, to spend time with the Lord. Jesus got up a great while before day. That hit me, Mark 1:35. A great while before day, departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Why was it a great while? Because Jesus was busy. He had a lot of demands on his life. You read when that occurred in Mark 1:35, back up and read the previous day's ministry. He really had a lot of demands on his life. But we need to make it a holy habit, because I'm telling you, God wants to download on us every single day. God's got revelation for you on a daily basis. God's always talking. One of the things I'm really going to really emphasize in this church, and that's why I asked some of you to share what you believe God's putting on your heart, is hearing God. God wants us to hear him. And he's talking through his word, and he's given us revelation, but he wants us to hear him in individual situations. He wants us to give us revelation. God is always talking. Amen? Always. And you're always hearing. A lot of times you just don't know it. Me also. Amen? But I'm learning. One of the big keys to hearing God. Are you ready? Here it is. It's deep. Hang on to your socks. Debbie, you don't have any, so you'll be good. You know, hang on to your sandals, right? Is believing you hear God. Oh, you got to be mature to hear God. Really? How does a baby in the natural, how old does it have to be before it starts hearing its mother's voice? Now, I agree that a baby develops in being able to understand what its mother says. But a lot of us, we've been saved a while. We've been born again for a while. You know, we can hear God. Now, I'm not saying, you know, get away from the word and go out here and try to hear God. I'm saying with the word. You know, I was thinking back to my early Christian days when I would get off work and, you know, one of the things I started doing, I read the Bible through every year, and I've done that probably since the beginning of my Christian walk. And long story short, but I remember how much I enjoyed just meditating on the word of God and just letting God show me things out of the word of God without having to get my Bible readings done. I mean, I'm not against that, because I believe the Bible readings are good, in my opinion, because they keep you all over the Bible. Amen? Hold on. Man, he's pretty good with that air guitar. Anyhow, so moving right along. So we have to take control and begin to conceive the purposes of God in our imagination. We would become spiritually pregnant, and it would just be a matter of time until we give birth. It will happen. Go to Hebrews 6:12, not in your outline. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 12. Look at this. I want to show you this. Because God showed me this, that out of Mark chapter 4, verse 28, of how the seed of God's word works, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He said things are like that. Sometimes there's, even say overcoming something that you're trying to overcome, maybe it's a bad habit or whatever that's going on. Sometimes the process isn't instantaneous deliverance, if you know what I'm saying. It can be first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Doesn't have to be. It can be instantaneous, but I'm saying sometimes. And sometimes when it comes to receiving from God, it's the same thing. Look at Hebrews 6:12. It says that you be not slothful. That's a big one. But followers or imitators of them who through faith inherit the promises of God. It doesn't say that. It says faith and patience inherit the promises of God. You could write this down. Without patience, faith will quit. Think about that. Without patience, faith will quit. I mean, that's why the Bible talks about the God of hope, and we'll get into hope here in a little bit, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope even when things don't look like they're going the way you want them to. Isn't that powerful? But without patience, faith will quit. People don't understand that. It's not just faith that we inherit. And even if you study the word pistis for faith, it involves faithfulness. You know, one of the biggest things, I've said this many times, I admire many things about Andrew Womack, but one of the biggest things I admire about him is the fact that he don't quit. It's amazing to me. It's God. Because to me, that's, I think that Jesus said this in John 13, 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. In other words, he's equipped us to do that, right? As I have loved you. By this, your love one for another shall all men know we are his disciples. You know what love one for another looks like? We don't quit on each other. Did you hear what I said? We don't quit on each other. We don't get mad and pick up our toys and we love each other consistently, constantly, even after the newness wears off. You ever seen marriages, you know, and they're all excited about him or her, and then after they're married for a while, get it yourself. Doesn't have to be that way. My friend Pastor Joe was saying, he goes, so many people marry the wrong one, and then the rest of their life's a life of constant marriage counseling. Doesn't have to be that way. Amen? Doesn't have to be that way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. We become spiritually pregnant. It's just a matter of time before we give birth. It will happen. Letter, I guess that's 10 in Roman numerals. We need to meditate. Boy, there's so much you could say there. On the Word of God and intentionally start training our imaginations. See, meditation is how you train your imagination. Meditation is not some Eastern religion, lotus position, humming. That's not what it is. Meditation is biblical. Truth is, we're always meditating. But the more we're intentional with our meditation, that's why I tell people, when you're reading the Bible and a verse jumps at you, write it down, stop, meditate on it, think about it. I can't hardly listen to a teaching. I was telling you, some of you folks, I'm driving out here, and all of a sudden, I'm pushing, got Joseph Prince in there, and I'm going to listen to little Joseph. I listened a little bit of him. He started talking about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, and you know, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir came, and the guy Jehaziel had a word, and he said, hey, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. Da-da-da. You know the story, set the praisers out front. God said ambushments, but what were they saying? The Lord is good. They were singing and saying that. The Lord is good in his mercy. Endures forever. I knew right away that's the Hebrew word hasid. God's covenant loyalty endures forever. You know what that's saying? God's loyal to his covenant. You know what that says to you and me? God's loyal to Jesus, and our faith is in Jesus, so God's loyal to us through Jesus. Whew. I just like, I got to think about that. That's awesome. You know, it's all over the place. You know, I'll tell you what, when you understand blood covenant, you understand why God, there has to be judgment. You understand why God's waiting, why he's long-suffering before his second physical return. He's long-suffering because he doesn't want any to perish. And outside of that blood covenant, through Jesus, his precious, sinless, shed blood, there has to be judgment. Has to be. There's no other way. There's no other way. But God's so good that he's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. And he's long-suffering, by the way, 2 Peter 3:9, to usward, the King James says, to the church, because he wants us to be mature enough and understand our mission. Amen? All right, let's get going. It said, we need to meditate on the Word and start intentionally training our imaginations. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I can see I'm going to have to pick up the pace here. Because I want to give you guys time to share a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verses 7 and 8. Excuse me, but refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise, work out yourself unto godliness, being devoted to God. Exercise. That's not legalism. Amen. You know the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 5 on down, watch this. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, and it lists seven things you add to your faith. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things, he's blind, he can't see afar off, and he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I'm going to teach on that. That's not talking about adding it to your position in Christ. It's talking about adding it to your walk. It's so good. And all those things, it says, but if he forgot something that doesn't do this. He's blind. He can't see far off. And he forgot something, he or she, that they were purged from their old sins. They forgot who they are. So they don't add them things to their faith. So powerful. So when we say exercise yourself unto godliness, that means just, it's like saying, people, bodybuilders or whatever, they don't exercise to get muscles. They exercise to build the muscles they already have. Right? That's, yeah, I didn't get this buff just by nothing. I'm kidding. I thought I'd throw that joke in there. All right, look at verse 8 of 1 Timothy 4. For bodily exercise profits a little. We need to take care of our physical bodies. It profits a little. But look at this. Godliness, which is being well devoted to God, is profitable unto all things. Wow. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Boy, that's amazing. So we need to meditate on the Word of God, intentionally start training our imaginations. How we see ourselves is important. Do I see myself in Christ or do I see myself in Chris? Hear the difference? Or whatever your name is. We have to see ourselves as able to do or be whatever we are praying for. And I'm not going to go there, but in Numbers chapter 13, you remember when Moses sent out the 12 spies to spy out the promised land that God gave them? They spied that and said, man, it's a great land, all that. And then the 10 spies came back with a negative report. And they said, it is a great land, but we can't do it because there's giants in the land. And of course, Caleb stilled the people and said, we're well able because God's with us. But what's interesting, it says that because of how they saw themselves, that's how they were to the giants, as grasshoppers in their eyes. See, the devil knows he's defeated. He just doesn't want you to know. What did I write? I saw Jim Richards said something in that Grace, the Power to Change. He said, the devil is only what you believe he is. He's a real entity. He's not minimizing that, but he doesn't have any power. And that's why I tell people, I'm going to say this and you got to hear it. When you sin, you do not give the devil authority. You can give him place, but that's different than authority. He has no authority. You have authority, right? But see, he wants you to, well, you gave him authority. Now you got to sit here and take this. No, you've given him place. You need to embrace your forgiveness. See, you don't confess your sins to be forgiven. You confess your sins to claim your forgiveness. Hear the difference? You're already forgiven, but you know, if you gave Satan place in a situation, man, receive the forgiveness of God and command him, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. He has no authority. I'm trying to emphasize that because people say, well, you know, you gave him authority. I used to say that. No, you can't. He'll use your authority or as you give him place, but he doesn't have any authority. That's good news. All right, I got to fly. A positive imagination, letter C, will help erase all of the self-defeating ideas we have wrongly believed about ourselves. In other words, if you focus on the light, the darkness has to depart. We have to meditate on the Word of God until we conceive something, till we can begin to see it on the inside. If we have interaction with the Word, it will become alive and real to us. You know, but if we don't have interaction with the Word, it won't become alive and real to us. Look at letter B. Then once we conceive it in our imagination, we will receive it. We receive it on the inside before we ever receive it on the outside. Being around people, I'm going quick. I got a lot of notes I'm not covering for the sake of time. Being around people who talk about vision causes us to dream big also. What does the Bible say? Go from the presence, Proverbs 14:7, from the foolish man when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. It doesn't mean you don't love him or her, but you don't hang out with people that are visionless and they're not going God's way. Make sense? What does it say in Proverbs 13:20? He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's a promise. Okay? And fools someone who trusts in their own heart instead of looking to God. It's not saying you shun people. That's not what it's saying. But it's saying who your association are. You want people that pull you up, that dream big with God, right? Because that'll affect you. What you're around, like if you're around someone that smokes and you don't smoke, and you're around somebody, are you smoking? You know, if you're around a campfire and you smell like a campfire. So that's big. That's why God says that. There's a saying, you've heard it, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's the truth. You know, I said this when I talked to Pastor Joe the other day on the phone. I talked to him again today because of the thing we're dealing with. But long story short, I'm telling you, I sat there and I was in the nursery. Denny was out here. And I thought, my word, this is like listening to a powerful teaching. This is really good. And he's got such revelation and such love for God and such wisdom. And it blessed me so much. But see, that does something to you. What you hear does something to you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not only what you say, but what you hear. Right? I mean, if you're around people that are always speaking death and negative, guess what? It's not a good day. Amen? That's why the Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. That's every waking moment, right? Psalm 113, verse 3. All right, moving right along. Letter A under Roman numeral 12. It says, most of us think too small. We aim at nothing and hit it every time. Well, if you think in the realm of yourself, it's easy to think small. But if you think in the realm of God, he's limitless. If we have needs, we should go to the Word and find the answers to our needs. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23 that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word is a seed, Luke 8:11. If we plant that seed in our spiritual wombs, our imaginations, we'll see it germinate. See, the reason people live in defeat is because that's how they see themselves. Defeated. And listen, I can't sit here, I'm going to see myself as success. No, I got to see in here based on what God says. Because if I look at me, it's easy to see something that's not victorious. And I love, and I'm going to just say it, and you can go there at your leisure, or as Joseph Prince would say, at your leisure. You can go there in 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph, or leads us into triumph, other translations say, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place, the aroma of success in him. Amen? It's powerful, guys. Powerful stuff. Glory to God. Understanding, Roman numeral number, I guess that would be 13. Understanding is more than knowledge or the ability to recall a fact. A lot of us read the Bible with our heads instead of our imagination or hearts. Now, it will affect your head, but we need to read it with our hearts. Now, I like to say it like this. There's a difference between meditating in the word, on the Word, and then in the Word. We need to do both. We meditate on the Word. We go to the Word and we see it. But then allow the Holy Spirit to take you in the Word, to where you see yourself in the Word, to you see yourself in the promise. See, that's not New Age. That's biblical. The devil didn't create your imagination. Let me read this again here. It says, a lot of us read the Bible with our heads instead of our imagination or hearts. That's like chewing food but not swallowing it. It amazes me because I've used that example. the Word won't minister to us in its fullness unless we get it down to the level where we understand it. I said it like this. Here's an example too. When you see a problem, for example, in a church, you have two options. A lot of times I tell people this. When you see a problem, it's your call to fix the problem. Amen? Or to be a part of fixing the problem. But most of the time, if without that understanding, without that meditation, it's easy to give mouth-to-mouth resuscitations to a problem instead of being part of the solution. Amen? God's called all of us to be solutions. Guess what? And part of being a solution is seeing the problems that need solutions. Amen? But I really believe, as we fall in love with the Lord and realize his love for us and his love for people, though, that's going to be the fruit of it. As Pastor Joe and I were talking about, the problem, and I've said this for a long time, the problem with the American church is we're not sold out. That's the problem. We're lovers of pleasures, not you guys, but the vast majority of the American church is lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Didn't say they didn't love God. It said they love pleasure more. That's why Joe was blessing me so much, because he was talking about all the hours he puts in as a Charis Bible College director in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And he said, but he goes, I don't belong to me. I don't belong to me. I belong to the Lord. And, you know, we were talking about, too, the more we know God, that old hymn, you remember the old hymn? And the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That is so true. That is so true. It's the truth. You realize that what matters? You know, I like sometimes, you know, these guitar players, I think they're amazing, but I think it's just music. You know, who cares? It's just sports. Who cares? All that matters is the kingdom of God. That's powerful to me. All right. Got to quickly fly here. I'm flying. The eyes of your understanding. This is what Paul prayed in Ephesians 1. Talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened or flooded with light, the Amplified says, that you may know the hope, know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's amazing. Ephesians 1:18. The Greek word here for understanding is the word dianoia, and this is a compound word that means deep thought. There's a difference between just thinking about things on the surface and having a deep thought or understanding about them. And I got so true written behind that. But let me show you a verse here in Proverbs chapter 8. And I'm not going to camp on it, but I'm going to mention it because at some time I want to camp on it. You remember the bondservant in the Old Testament? Remember the bond, Exodus 21, for example, where the bondservant, they could go, but they had to leave their children and all those people back. And the bondservant, they would drive a thing through their earlobe, and they became their ear being nailed to the door, for lack of a better way to say it. Paul said in the New Testament that he was a bond slave of Jesus. That means he, a disciple, he chose to give his life for the cause of Christ. Romans 1:1. And, you know, that's what we're talking about when we talk about discipleship. There's a difference between just being a convert and being a disciple. Obviously, to be a disciple, you need to be a convert, but God's calling disciples. And that's where the fulfillment's at. I mentioned to Pastor Joe, I mentioned John chapter 4, verse 34, where Jesus said, my food, meat, the old King James says, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his course, finish that will, finish that purpose. Now watch this. And Joe goes, it's amazing you said that because I just shared that with the church. What he's saying is my nourishment is in God's purpose. And the Lord showed me that too many times Christians are malnourished on a soulish level in their emotions. They're frustrated. That's a sign of spiritual or soulish malnourishment. Not in the spirit, you're completing Christ, but in your soulish realm, they're malnourished because they're not in their purpose. Amen. And listen, your purpose isn't like, okay, God's called me to do this, and one day I'll be in my purpose, and it'll just happen. No, it's one day at a time. See, being in God's will is fulfilled one day at a time. The walk of faith is not a leap in the dark, it's a walk in the light. Can you hear that? It's one foot in front of the other. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I believe I'm in God's perfect will for my life today. Right where I'm at. And my goal is to be in that will tomorrow too. I don't know where the future, I have ideas where I think, you know, but I don't know it all. I'm seeing through a glass darkly and I'm following one step at a time. But so many people have this idea, well, I'm not in the will of God and one day I'm going to be in the will of God. You can't be in the will of God until you start. It's one day at a time. That's so powerful. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. People want, okay, I'm not in the will of God. Now full corn in the ear. Will of God. Doesn't work that way. It's little by little. It's a process. Right? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Let's go there. All right. It says, this is so good. Look at, I said, Proverbs 8:34. He's talking about wisdom and understanding. But I want you to see this. Blessed, verse 34. Verse 33, I just want to throw that one at you. Hear instruction. The word Hebrew word for construction is correction. Hebrews 12:5 says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. I was studying that word. The word despise there means to don't regard it as insignificant. It's important. If you're not being corrected, it says in that context in Hebrews 12, you're like an illegitimate child. If the Word of God never corrects you, and I know people that how we respond to correction, first from the Word and then from people that God's put over us, will determine where we go with God or don't go with God. God's not going to exalt me or you above our maturity or ability to handle it. Okay, look at this. So hear instruction, correction, and be wise, powerful, and refuse it not. Look at verse 34. Blessed, I love that, is the man that heareth me. Wisdom, instruction. Here's the Lord watching daily, daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. And that word post is where they put the blood in Hebrews chapter 12. His ears nailed to the doorpost on a daily basis, hearing, getting his instructions from the Lord, just like Jesus did, just like Paul did. What do you got for today? I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. John 5:19, we read it. John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. As I hear from God, my Father, I judge. And my judgment is just. Why? Because I don't seek my own will. Just judgment has to do with not seeking your own will. And see, all these things are what grace has provided for us. These aren't things you got to do in your own strength. You just got to, you know what? I need to hear God. That's what I said. We're going to put an emphasis at this church on hearing God. You hearing God. Individually. Oh, then someone might hear this and somebody. Listen, if we're truly hearing from God, it'll produce something. It's called the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, God told me to start a church in this field back here. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. How do you know? Because there's already one here. See, we don't have to, here, my point is we don't have to fear hearing God, because if we're really hearing God, it's going to produce the unity we try to conjure up in the flesh, also known as conformity. There's a difference between conformity and unity. I used to tell the Jehovah's Witnesses that. They'd say, oh, we have unity. I said, you have conformity. Hitler had unity. You agree or you die. You have unity. You agree or you're disfellowshipped, kicked out, ostracized, shunned. That's not unity, that's conformity. Hallelujah. All right, quick. All right, so daily having our ear nailed to the doorpost. When Solomon asked for wisdom, remember he had that dream and God said, ask whatever you will. And he said, I want an understanding heart, 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse 9, that I may judge your people, that I may be a wise ruler over your people. The word, the Hebrew word there, an understanding, means a hearing heart. Help me to be able to hear. I love that. That's where understanding comes from. Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away or raptures that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Interesting. Or alongside the wayside. That's it. And the seed, of course, being the word of God. Understanding is the seed getting below the surface where it can germinate. Hope, according to the scripture, I'm flying now. Hope, according to the scripture, is seeing something that we can't physically see. Look at Romans 8 in your outline, verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope. Isn't that fascinating? But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if you hope for that which you see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hope is our imagination working for us instead of against us. I've got wow written behind that. Hope is our imagination working for us instead of against us. We need a strong sense of hope because faith only provides what hope has already seen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to what you hope for. It gives assurance to what you hope for. No hope, faith doesn't have anything to work with. I like to say it like this. Satan doesn't attack your faith. He attacks your hope. Because if he gets your hope, faith doesn't have anything to work with. Amen? That's why people get hopeless. All of us have hope. But when people get discouraged, you know what that is? That's an attack on their hope. I had one recently. And it, you know, it comes because the enemy's attacking your hope. But I thought, you know what? I love saying this. I'm going to give you this. You ready? But God, hallelujah. Put, write it down like this. Put dot, 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 and then put but God, and then put dot, dot, dot behind that. And just meditate on it. I've seen that work. You know what but God says? I can't figure it out. I don't know what I'm doing. But God. Let's say it together. But God. Well, I don't know about this. Let's do it one more time. But I don't know this. Isn't that powerful? You know what that does? That's saying, you know what? I don't have any strength in my own ability, but God, I'm trusting you. The Lord is good and his loving kindness, his chesed, covenant loyalty endures forever. To me, to you, just like a thermostat, letter C, can be turned on hot or cold, our imaginations can be negative, which is a pessimistic outlook, or on everything, or positive, which is what the Bible calls hope. Hope turns on the ability of God, which faith is the power that makes things come to pass. Interesting. If our imaginations are negative, we will see failure on the inside, leading us to experience failure on the outside. If we are hoping and seeing a miracle in our hearts, it will turn on the power of God to see that miracle manifest in our lives. Our tongues, what we speak, what we say, need to be engaged with our God-formed imaginations. Hope comes through the Word of God, and this is the first step. Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime in the Old Covenant throughout the Scripture were written for our learning. Watch this. That we through patience and comfort from the Scriptures might have hope. Isn't that interesting? Why doesn't it say might have faith? Because it's the hope, the thermostat, that sets the temperature of our faith, of what faith, how well faith can manifest. That's powerful. Jesus created you to be so much more than you are probably experiencing. You are likely going through this life half blind, only seeing with your natural eyes. Everything in the physical might be indicating one thing, but in your heart, the Word of God can paint a picture of something else. You know what blesses God? You know what blesses God? When we just believe. I made this statement to somebody recently. I would rather miss it in faith than hit it in unbelief. You're not going to miss it in faith, but I'm saying I would rather miss it, you know, going God's way. I'm not talking about getting ahead of God, being presumptuous. That's not what I'm talking about. But man, I just think it blesses God when we get out of the boat. People talk about, well, Peter sank. He got his eyes off Jesus. He did, but he was the only one in Scripture other than Jesus that ever walked on the water. Amen? What's the old adage? I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. That's just it going. Take the limits off by conceiving the miracle in your imagination, then watch it come to pass. And on this last page, you can read this at your own leisure. I wrote this down, and you can talk. This lady that was healed of MS, you can check that out at your leisure. But I wrote these notes here that I felt the Lord gave me. It's not trying to try it to you see to see if it works. No, it's like a woman saying, I'm going to try to conceive and deliver a baby without their husband. You don't. It's not trying to see if it works. You know, we have to conceive it. And I believe even our emotions, when something is conceived on the inside, for example, let's say somebody told you just inherited $10 bazillion or whatever, and you believed it. Do you think you'd have any kind of emotional reaction? You think you would? Now, I'm not talking about pipe dreams and things that are not even in the Word of God or not things that God is showing you. But if we really believed what God's trying to do in our life, would it change my emotions? It would. And see, we can believe before we see it. I like how Andrew talks about how when they got into the one of the buildings that they were building and somebody came up to him and said, man, aren't you excited? He said, oh, I'm excited, very thankful. But he goes, I've been seeing this for months. And I think, you know, that's how we need to see what God is showing us. Like I said, this is not independent of God. This is in relationship with God. God's going to birth things in our hearts. God's going to give us dreams. God is big. Amen. God wants to do amazing things. And what I mean by big, it means he wants to affect people. I see people get a zeal for God and they get ahead of God and they run off without God. Pastor Joe was saying this. It was so good. He was saying that a lot of people, the river bed is what guides the water of the river. But some people, flesh likes the path of least resistance. Like water that doesn't have any river banks, it can just go anywhere. But he says God gives structure and he gives church structure to help the water that, you know, to the banks of the river to help guide the water. And we need that structure. But see, flesh likes the path of least resistance. And so if there's no banks, then the water just goes wherever. But that's not how God works. Amen? That limits what God's trying to do. See, this is why I tell people, the Lord showed me a long time ago. He said, let it come to you. I've never forgot that. And that means I don't have to figure it out, number one. Doesn't mean I don't do anything. But a lot of times, you know, don't just stand there, do something. A lot of times, sit there until God shows you what to do. I like Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Martha was busy. The Bible says she was, the old King James, she was cumbered about many things. The Greek says she was literally drug about in her emotions. But Mary was sitting, they were both sitting, but Martha, there was stuff to do. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his words. And you know what Martha did? She was all upset. She said, Lord, don't you care? So he's mad at her sister Mary and mad at Jesus that my sister's left me to do everything. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're busy. You're cumbered about many things. There's one thing that's needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, and it's not going to be taken away from you. See, the persecution and opposition that comes against you and I is for the word's sake. Satan fears the word getting planted in our heart. Because if it does, it's going to do damage to his kingdom. If you find and fulfill your God-ordained purpose, you're going to do serious damage to the kingdom of God. And you know what? I don't even care how that purpose manifests. I am thrilled that this Jim Richards book is affecting so many people. Because I told my wife, I go, man, I'm like a drug pusher with that book. We got another 10 of them coming in church. I'm not just giving them to anybody. If people want it, if they're going to get blessed by it, they're going to read it, I'm interested in giving you one. But I'm like a drug pusher, man. I'm in a good way, a good drugs, okay, with that book because people need it. And I'm telling you, it's making a difference. So this is about the kingdom of God. That's what matters. How can you believe, Jesus said in John 5:44, you receive honor. You're seeking that honor that comes from man only and seek not the honor that comes from God alone. See, if we really believe, it'll really be about the kingdom of God. That's exciting to me. Glory to God. So, 2 minutes we got. Let's pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for all online that are listening, will listen. We thank you for them. Everyone here, we thank you that we are blessed. Lord, we thank you that we hear God. Say that, I hear God. Let's try that again. 1, 2, 3. I hear God. That's what Jesus said. So we believe that. Amen. So God bless you. Thank you. You can turn that off.